Morning, everybody. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Had a wonderful Yom Tov. It's probably that most of us have forgotten already. We're moving off into the winter and continuing with our way through Hilchos Shabbos. So today's topic is the halachos of Hachana. The basic guidelines are simple. The exceptions to the rules are a little bit more difficult ones. But let's discuss the basic rules first. Preparing from a day that is offered the Menacha, like Shabbos, Yom Tov, to another day, even if the other day is also a day that is Kodesh, is also Kol Shekein, or the more so if you are preparing from a day of a special day to a weekday. So to prepare from Shabbos to weekday, from Shabbos to Yom Tov. From Yom Tov to Shabbos, from Yom Tov to weekday, is all awesome. From Yom Tov Rishon to Yom Tov Sheni, from Yom Tov Sheni to Shabbos. Whichever way it is, from a Shabbos to another day, from a Yom Tov to another day, is also. Not only that, even from one Shabbos to another Shabbos, is also. If you want to do something now on this Shabbos, so that it's available for next Shabbos, we'll see an example soon, that also is also. The only exception to this rule is Yom Tov to Shabbos when you've made Erev Tashlim. Then on Yom Tov to Shabbos, once you've made Erev Tashlim, not only is it mutter, but it probably is a mitzvah so that you should come into Shabbos with proper food for Shabbos. But that's the only exception to the rule, and that is, as I said, you've got to make Erev Tashlim. But otherwise, from Yom Tov to Chol HaMoed, from Yom Tov to Yom Tov, Rishon to Yom Tov Sheni, etc., all of that is also. Now, how would we define Hachana? Hachana is something that you are doing that has no purpose for today. Why are you doing it? Because it has purpose for another day. And since you can't prepare for another day, that will make it also. Even if what you're doing is the effort that is needed is minimal, we'll see that when something is considered as no effort, perhaps it will be mutter. As I said, it's going to be a little bit difficult to define, but there will be certain cases that will be considered mutter when there's no effort involved or very minimal. But the Lashon of the Pasuk is, even if there's a little bit, so go make a distinction between a little bit and a minimal amount, is going to be playing with the hairs this way, that way, how to divide it up. So we'll have to take the examples as they're brought down the Halacha Sforim and see what we can make out of them. Because we're going to see that even talking about something, saying something about what we're doing can cause something to be a case of Hachana. As we'll see with examples, right now we're just talking in general terms. And so again, it's when something is done on Shabbos, which has no purpose, has no need to be done on Shabbos. Why are you doing it? Because it's going to help you on another day? That is considered Hachana. The moment what you do is needed for Shabbos, even if it could be helpful for another day, then that will make it mutter to do, because at the end of the day, it's Torah Shabbos. So when you clear your table for Shabbos, after Shabbos Shudas, so essentially it's so that your table should be clear and the dishes should be stacked in the sink when Moshe Shabbos comes. But on the other hand, you also want that now, between the end of your Shabbos Shudas and Haftarah, you want your living room to look neat and tidy. So therefore, there's purpose for Shabbos. So true, if you tap the person on the shoulder and say, tell me the truth. Are you doing this because you really want it neat now or because you want it for Motzei Shabbos? Yeah, probably both, but the mind for Motzei Shabbos is probably more important to me than the neatness in the room. But that's not the issue when it comes to Hachana. The moment there's necessity for Shabbos, that makes the whole action permitted. So if you bring a seder to shul on Shabbos afternoon, so that you can use it on Moshe Shabbos. So we say, read from the Siddur on Shabbos while it's still Shabbos. So then the purpose of bringing it to Shul was so that you could read from it when you're in Shul while it's still Shabbos. I really need it for tonight, but the Maitre use it for today as well. Purim is on a Moshe Shabbos, not this year, but it would be on a Moshe Shabbos. So you want to bring your Megillah to Shul. So Shabbos afternoon, you take your Megillah and you walk to Shul with it. The problem is that Tachana for Moshe Shabbos, everybody knows the Megillah is going to be read on Moshe Shabbos. But you open it up and lay in a few psukim from the Megillah while it is still daytime, you show that I need it for now also. So then the fact is, now everybody knows that this Megillah is for the night. That's the purpose. But I had a purpose for it for Shabbos, that makes the action mutter. So that's the general rule of achana. Is it needed for today? If the answer to that question is no, then you cannot do it. If there is some purpose for today, then you're allowed to do it. That's the general rule. We said that even if the action that you're doing, which is not for today, has very small amount of effort involved, nevertheless, it still remains awesome. As I said, there will be exceptions. So, to prepare food on Shabbos for eating on Motzei Shabbos is an example of something that would be awesome to do. Obviously, we're not talking about preparing food, cooking it, Chas V'Shalom. No one cooks food on Shabbos, but you want to cut up some fruits for Malava Malka, or of course, after Havdalah, to have something to eat, whatever it is. So cutting up fruits on Shabbos is not an issue. So you want to do it already on Shabbos afternoon, because you want to have it ready. That may not be done. If you're going to have a slice of those fruits while you cut up the remainder, then the chori, that will be done for Shabbos, that will be mutter. You want to start washing dishes. Washing dishes on Shabbos essentially is not asur. You're allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos, but they must be dishes that you're going to be needing for Shabbos. So the standard halacha brought down that if you've had all three meals already, you may not wash eating dishes, but you're allowed to wash drinking dishes, cups, because the halacha is shtia ein lo kitzva. People drink at all times and whenever they want. It has nothing to do with meals, and therefore cups is something they use at all time, and therefore washing would be for use. So there you can see an example that if it's dishes that you're going to need, then you can wash it. Dishes you're not going to need, you can't wash it. The exception to this rule is that when you're washing dishes, you're allowed to wash more than you need. So in other words, I'll give an example. You eat a meal Friday night and you had guests, and therefore you had two guests, and therefore you had two more people than the size of your family, and Shabbos morning you're going to need all those dishes again minus the two, because those guests are not going to be there for Shabbos morning. So say you're a family of six, you dirtied eight dishes, so for Shabbos morning you need six. Once you're washing six, you can wash eight as well. I've never fully understood where we draw the line, because we say that if you need plates, you can wash plates, but you can't wash bowls. If you need cutlery, so you can't wash dishes. You need dishes, you don't need cutlery, etc. But when you're washing plates, you can wash all the plates in the sink. When you're washing bowls, you can wash all the bowls. I'm telling you what's written. To explain that, I have difficulty explaining exactly how the rules for that apply, but that's what's written. So, again, washing dishes is considered as something which is mutter to do on Shabbat, only if there is purpose for the clean dishes on Shabbos. If you do not need these dishes anymore, then you may not wash them. Folding clothing to put them away is also, if you don't need them put away now, or you can put them away in a way that doesn't need folding. So then folding clothing would become also. And an interesting example of this is if a person has a talis for Shabbos. It does not wear it during the week, it only wears it on Shabbos. The Shabbos morning, you finish with your talis, you fold it, you put it away. What are you doing? You're preparing it for next. Are you preparing for Shabbos? The problem is it's not this Shabbos, it's next Shabbos. And that's what we said, that the issur of hachana is not only Shabbos the weekday, it could even be from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos. So folding your talis to put away for next week, even though next week is Shabbos, is also part of the issur of hachana. We are going to see that folding a talis into the subject of folding on Shabbos. Some of the folding on Shabbos can be considered as tikkun begadim. It seemed like their clothing was very sensitive, and when you folded it, you fixed it, you made it nice, you smoothed it out. And today we have most of our stuff is non-iron and easy care compared to the linen and things they had in the olden days. I don't know how much that applies, but there's the idea that you fold something, so folding on Shabbos is folding it on the fold is considered as a tikkun beged. Therefore, we say that you should not fold an original fold. You can fold shalei b'kikula harisha and fold it on other folds, not on the ironed in folds. So that we see is mutter on the Shabbos. That's the case. Eyes for next Shabbos. So you see that's not considered the proper, that's less tircha. As I said, the fine line between the two is very hard to define, but if we see they're right, then we'll understand. So folding a talis for next week is no good. Folding a talis should not be to pull a rishon for next week. C seems to be not considered a tircha. What's interesting is even following a chilevi kapula harishoin, there are those who are machmir. The Mishavur brings an interesting halacha. There's a statement Chazal tell us, Noach lele inish le'aved mitzvah b'mamoine. A person appreciates it when someone uses something that belongs to him to do a mitzvah. So if I have a spare talis, or I have a talis, doesn't make a difference, spare or not, but I'm not using it now, but I'd have it at the early meaning, I left my talis at shul, someone comes to the late meaning, he sees my talis, he needs a talis, can he borrow it without asking? Because we say that someone borrowing without asking is as bad as stealing. But sometimes we understand that people are forgiving, or people like when their things are borrowed. So it's a nice thing to write on something, please do not use, please do use whatever it is. There's a beautiful stender in one of the shuls over here, someone's written on his name in big, and underneath it says, please feel free to use. In other words, if you have a question, can I use it, can I not use it, he wrote it. But if someone didn't write on it, whether you can or can't use it. So now we have to understand his, as I use the expression of umden das, we measure up his opinion, what would he think about it. So Chazal says, generally a person is happy when you do a mitzvah with his item. So therefore, to use his talis, he gains another mitzvah from it. So therefore, you can use his talis. There are exceptions to the rule. It doesn't mean anything that you do a mitzvah without a take, because when something is sensitive, expensive, or it's very delicate, then we're going to say you may not use it, because the person, even though you're going to do a mitzvah with it, a person is careful. So you have a moil, a shofar, it has a special knife, and you need a spare knife, so you don't, you take your knife without asking, and you go do something with it. He's, even though you do a mitzvah with it, you do a shkita with it, they're going to get very upset, because these type of things are very sensitive, and people are makbid on. So, but a talis is not something you're makbid on. A person's not going to rip dirty or ruin your talis by just wearing it once. And therefore, you come into a shul and you need a talis on your own, mutter to use, unless you know otherwise. Say from the Shavura, that when you do such a thing, you must remember to return it to the, back to the way it was. Otherwise, the person's not going to be happy. He folded and put it nicely away, and you wear it, dump it in a corner of the shul, and tomorrow he's going to look for it. Unfortunately, there are people who do such things, and therefore we can understand the sentiment, and the Mishpura tells us not to do that. I'm sure people who do it are because they're in a hurry and something happens and they get distracted. I'm sure they've done it on purpose. So he says that if you found it folded, put it back folded. And then comes the question, what about if it's Shabbos? Shabbos, I don't want to fold it the way I found it. So over there, it's brought down that you're allowed it on Shabbos. If you borrow someone's talis, you don't even have to fold it. You can roll it up and put it back where it was. And he comes to Moshe Shabbos and sees it rolled up and not folded, or he comes next Shabbos. He'll understand, oh, someone used it, and he would have folded it, but he didn't, because it's not enough to fold in Shabbos. So the Mishavur brings that as a raya, that since that's not considered as returning an item back to the way that it was, we don't say this is lacking in your care for someone else's item. This is Kedai, that on Shabbos, when you have a talis, even your own talis, you should not fold. You should rather just pack it up in a way that doesn't include fold. But, as I said, that is a humra of the Mishavura. If you see people after davening take off their talis and fold it, so you should know first of all, a lot of people are folding the Shemoi B'Kipula HaRishon. They're not putting it onto the original fold, it's different folds. And second of all, they're even on the Kipula HaRishon and our modern day talation, they are Heterium. So we're not going to point fingers, oh, you see that guy over there, you're looking down for that discussion, and you see someone folding the talis. Oh, he didn't listen to the Shia, doesn't know. No, we're not going to point fingers. But I'm just saying, the fact that you see a lot of people rolling up their talis, unfolding it, that's the Mishavura's raya for it. Some more examples of Hachana is you're the Gabba of Mishul, and you have 2 days Yom Tov, or you have Yom Tov and then Shabbos, and the first day you're laying this, and the second day that. So you want to prepare the Sefer Torah and roll it after Kriyas Torah. So after Shabbos, you take the Sefer Torah out, you roll it to the new Parsha and put it back again. That would be also because you're rolling it on Shabbos for Yom Tov, or for Yom Tov for Shabbos, that would be. Also, there is a Shaila that if you named on the Parsha, if you have Yom Tov and then Shabbos and you made Erev Tavshilin, so since you made Erev Tavshilin, you're allowed to prepare for Shabbos on Yom Tov. We had now, Rosh Hashanah was Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, we made Erev Tavshilin. So on Friday, you're allowed to cook for Shabbos. On Friday, you're allowed to make the beds for Shabbos. And on Friday, you're allowed to wash the dishes for Shabbos. So you're allowed to also roll the Sefer Torah for Shabbos. It's a big machlokas, there's two Rukiva Eggers and Shulchan Aruch on it, and it's a big machlokas, they contradict each other, it's a big machlokas, generally speaking. If it's non-food related, we're going to say that it was to be machmir not to rely on it. But here we're talking about without Erev Tashirin for sure, it will be asur if you have the Yom Tov on a Sunday, or Samazah, you have Rosh Chodesh, you have to do Rosh Chodesh on a Sunday. So you want to prepare the Sefer Torah that they read the Parsha on Shabbos, and then they roll it to Parsha Pinchas for the next day. So he wants to do it after Shacharis, he may not do it on Shabbos as preparation for the next day, even though there's no Issur enrolled in the Sefer Torah, but there's a Tircha involved, there's an effort involved in going out of your way to make an effort for a non-Shabbos purpose is the Issur of Achana. So too, someone who made a Neder and realizes that he can't keep his Neder and therefore he wants to get Hataras Nedarim. So you go to a Rav or a Beis Din and you discuss it with them and they find you a Heter and they give you a Heter. We don't do that if there's no Tzarech Hayoyim. If a person took a Neder that is not going to have any grape products, so that would exclude grape juice and wine, and now he remembers that, ooh, I shouldn't have taken on this Neder, I can't make Kiddush. So then so he goes to a Rav and explains him why he did it and why he overlooked this and whether he's got a Pesach to his, he's got an excuse to his mistake. If that all works out, so then fine, he can, the Rav will give him a Heter, Mutalach, and he can go have his grape juice. So that you can do on Shabbos because it's a Torah of Shabbos. But if it was something else that is going to affect his Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or whatever, so that is not the Torah Shabbos, then he can't go to the Rav and get on his Neder. So those are standard examples of, now we'll talk about more particular examples of Achana. Something that's coming up this year is Erev Pesach this year is going to be Shabbos. Grass that happens once in a while. You've got to be prepared. We have an it means that you're going to have a nice opportunity for a shluch on Shabbos afternoon and come to the Seder rested. But it also means that you've got to be prepared a day earlier. You're going to have more. Then the day of Shabbos is a very interesting day. How to prepare it. You get up early and you got to daven early and you got to eat chametz and you got to put it away. And it's a complicated day. And Hashem, when the time comes, there'll be more to talk about it. But it's coming up this year. And the question is, you eat at 9 o'clock in the morning, you go have your meal for Yom Tov, for Shabbos, and you had pita and you had some other chametz. Now, at 10 o'clock, it's cut-off time and you've got to get rid of the chametz. So you have dirty dishes. Now these dishes are chametz dishes. You're not going to be using them on Pesach. You have no more use for them in a few minutes. Chametz becomes osur. So you may not wash these dishes. So what do you do with dishes with leftover chametz sticker food on Shabbos? You have no eitzah to wash them off because we said you can only wash dishes that you may, that you're going to be using again today. But this is not for today. This is for after Pesach that you wash. Therefore, we say you cannot wash the dishes. What do you do with the dirt that's on it? So you wipe the dirt off or you rinse them. You can rinse the dishes because there's a need now to make sure there's no chametz on them. Therefore, you rinse the dishes, but you can't wash them. And then you put them unwashed, but pre-rinsed away for Yom. Obviously, today we're going to have a much better eater, and that is we're going to use disposable dishes. And we're going to throw those disposable dishes in the garbage and out it goes and make sure that you dispose of any crumb or comment as is necessary. And then you're taking dishes that might be slightly dirty, rinse off the excess comment and throw them in the garbage and you have nothing to worry that you have dirty dishes lying around because out they're going to go. The other eitzah that's given is that you don't eat any sticky comments. The common food that people ate on Shabbos is challah. Cholent, you see from the Achronim already, was a sticky type of food. It had chametz inside it, and it was gooey, and it stuck to the plates and was brought down. Not to eat your cholent on Shabbos, you should have a different type of food on Shabbos morning so that you don't have this cholent that sticks to the plates. Today, where we live in bigger homes, more availability to arrange things differently, what is common is that people cook a fully kosher Pesach meal for Shabbos. But you have to have lechemish. So, and you can't eat matzah because on Erev Pesach, you're not eating matzah, you only eat matzah day and night, you're not matzah Erev Pesach. So what do? So people buy pita, they make kiddush, they make hamoitzi on the pita, they eat the required amount of pita, the kaveta, lechatchila, and then they take the pita away, clear the table, wrap up the tablecloth, throw it out, shake out the crumbs in a way that is permissible, wrap it up, throw it in the garbage, pita's gone, set the table again, bring out the Pesach dishes and have a Pesach meal. And that way you're saved of all these problems. Now today we have ways of getting around it, but the reason why we go to such an effort is because Tachana is also a Shabbos. You cannot wash those dishes. Maximum you can rinse them off. You can't wash those dishes on Shabbos because they're not going to be needed again. Another halacha that comes up, and it's going to be applicable on that Shabbos as well, but it's applicable on every Shabbos. Shabbos afternoon, you go for a shluch. Shein of a Shabbos Tana, the Chazal tell us that it's one of the Tanuvi of Shabbos to have a nap. Very interesting on that point. The Ber Hesed brings down that the Arizal would sleep 3 hours on a Shabbos afternoon. And he says, the Velt says, oh, I'm going to do an Arizal now, and they're going to sleep 3 hours. He says, Halavai, people will do everything else the Arizal writes about. It seems like the Velt only picks on this one that he sleeps for 3 hours. And also they say that Arizal, when he slept for 3 hours, he dreamt of Divrei Torah. His 3 hours of sleeping, he probably learned more in 3 hours of sleeping than we do in a lifetime. So it was a different type of sleep. But nevertheless, he's told Shein of Shabbos Tanug, it is considered one of the Tanug of Shabbos to have a nap on Shabbos afternoon, whether it's 3 minutes or 3 hours, that was decided. But the point is that if a person has the nap, for example, this way I mentioned, if Erev Pesach is on a Shabbos, so you've got the Seder coming up, it's going to be late, you want Koyach, and there's nothing much you can do anyway because you can't cook on Shabbos, so whatever you've done is cooked before. You've had your meal, you've got to finish your meal by Sofzman Achidas Chometz, and you daven Vosikin that morning. Well, you've got a fairly long afternoon, especially if the clock has changed before, and you've got a nice long afternoon, so you go take a nap, and you say, you know what, the longer the nap I have now, the better my Seder is going to be. So one thing you're not allowed to do is say, my nap is for Moshe Shabbos. So here we have an interesting thing, that's what I mentioned before, that even by verbally saying something, you can affect the din of Hachana. And therefore, if a person takes a nap on Shabbos afternoon, even if he has in mind that it should be that he could stay up Moshe Shabbos, have more strength for whatever he needs to do on Moshe Shabbos, nevertheless, do not verbalize it. And Mameda, when you go to sleep, everybody knows, Shein of a Shabbos Tana, he's taking a nap on Shabbos for Shabbos. We know, between me and you, this nap is really for Moshe Shabbos. And also, if it was just for Shabbos, you'd sleep 5 minutes, half an hour. Now he's sleeping 2 hours, whatever the case may be. But since the Maisa is doing it for Shabbos, even though there's a secondary reason, that makes it mutter. Just as we say that a person should not verbalize it and say, this nap is for Moshe Shabbos. But more examples are if a person needs to get hold of wine. He doesn't have wine at home, and therefore, when he goes to Mincha, he speaks to the neighbor, speaks to the Gabbai of the Shul, whatever the case may be, and brings home wine after Mincha so that he can have wine for Havdalah. That also is also because you're preparing for Havdalah, which is a Moshe Shabbos activity on Shabbos, and it's not so you're bringing the wine home, not for the sake of Shabbos, but for the sake of Moshe Shabbos. If you need to do that, there's a way to do it, is have a cup of wine at Shabbos Shuddas. So then, even though you brought the whole bottle really for Moshe Shabbos, but since you use it on Shabbos, so now it has a Shabbos and Moshe Shabbos use, the moment it has a Shabbos use, it takes it out of the cloud of Achona. Taking a Siddur to Shul on Shabbos afternoon, so you can dabble with it for Ma'ariv, is also, even if there's an Erev and you can carry, but you're making an effort of bringing something to Shul, which has no purpose for now, the purpose is for later, therefore that is considered as also if you need to do that, the way to do it then is to read something out of the Siddur. When you get to Shul, read something out of the Siddur, and now, while it's still Shabbos, and then the purpose of bringing it was for now, even though you need it for later. So, too, the same thing is when you have 2 day Yom Tov, and you have 2 machzorim, one for the first day, one for the second day. So, when you go for Mincha on the first day, you don't bring the machzorim for Maariv of the second night. So, because that will be again hachana, unless you use some time to look over the piyutim or something like that, to check over the trillis. Again, were you using it now, then that legitimizes the effort that you did in order to bring it, even though the etzim use was for later. An example that we mentioned is Purim is on Sunday, you want to bring a Megillah to Shul, same story. You cannot bring it for Moshe Shabbos, but you can bring it and you can look at it now. Another interesting one is the 9 days. During the 9 days, we don't wear freshly laundered clothing. We only wear the clothing that has been pre-worn. So a person ran out of pre-worn clothing. He got them really dirty, and I can't wear them anymore. So he has an idea. On Shabbos, you don't wear fresh clothing. So I'll change my clothing on Shabbos. And that day, they will be considered pre-worn, And I'll have another outfit to wear in this coming week before Tisha B'Av. So if it's done that you literally wear something, take it off, put on something else, wear it for a time, take it off, then that is clear that you're doing it for Hachana for next week, when the visha, when the wearing of the clothing is clear that it's done for a short amount of time, it's only in order to make the clothing worn in, then that would be as considered as Hachana, you cannot do. But what you can do is that Friday night you wear one outfit, and when you go to bed you take it off, pajamas. Shabbos morning, you wear different outfits, and if you go for a nap during the day, then you'll take off the second outfit, and when you get up from your nap, you'll put on a third one. Now you have three outfits that have been pre-worn, and you'll be able to wear them after it also, because they're pre-worn. But when you wore them on Shabbos, you wore them for Shabbos. There's no idea that I was wearing it for half an hour, so that it's considered worn in, so that I can and wear it during the 9 days. No, wearing it for Shabbos happens to be. I didn't wear the same thing Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon. I changed during the day. That's normal. It doesn't change. But anyway, took it off because for whatever reason. But maybe then that will be considered as mutter to do it in that way. Again, if you have Tisha B'Av on a Sunday, so obviously don't bring your Kinnis book to shul unless you're going to be checking out the Kinnis before. If it is, you bring it already during the daytime. But what is mutter is you can eat at Shabbos Shudas for the sake of Tisha B'Av. Shabbos Shudas is a bit, so you got to eat Shabbos Shudas. Now, usually Shabbos Shudas, you're pretty full. You have a little bit of challah, some vegetables, whatever it is, and you're off, and it's enough. On Erev Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to make a big meal out of it and make it multiple times bigger than a normal Shabbos Shudas. The Lashon and the Pasim is Afilu Kashlom HaMelech Es Machusa. You can make it into a big meal. That is not considered as hachana, even though your kavana is for the sake of tomorrow, so that you should fast better. As long as you don't say while you're eating, "Oh, we're doing this for tomorrow." Everybody knows that you've put on a much bigger spread and a bigger meal for Shabbos Shudas because the fast is starting in an hour or so. Nevertheless, don't say it, but you can, like we spoke about the sleep. So, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take off your Shabbos shoes for the sake of the fast, so you bring your Tisha B'Av shoes to shul. After Baruch Hu, you take off your shoes and put on your Tisha B'Av shoes. So bringing your shoes to shul would be a problem of Achana. To bring them beforehand, or to take off your Shabbos clothing, you shouldn't go into Tisha B'Av wearing your Shabbos clothing. So you take your Shabbos clothing and put on weekday clothing. That also should not be done before nightfall, because that shows it's Achana for the next day. So these are all various things that one does for the next day. One has to be careful not to do them on Shabbos. Because of this, there's a slight change in the minhag of how Maariv is done in the Tisha B'Av night. The way it was done in the past was the person went to shul for Maariv at the regular time, wearing his regular shoes. The chazan took off his shoes before Baruch Hu, the exception to the rule. He said Baruch Hu, and then everybody else went and took off their shoes. And then you daven Tisha B'Av davening kinnis you brought to shul beforehand. And if you have Tisha B'Av shoes, you brought them to shul beforehand. And I remember as a kid, there was a minute by us to do it that way, that we came to shul for regular time Maariv. And then you went out after Baruch Hu and took off your shoes. It looked like strange. The chazan said Baruch Hu and the whole shul emptied out and took off their shoes and left them outside. And everybody came back in again. And those who have prepared shoes waiting for them outside, prepared beforehand. That was the minhag in the days when people wore weekday clothing on Shabbos. There's a lot of them on Shabbos because then you shouldn't wear Shabbos clothing. And they wore weekday clothing, so there was no problem coming to shul in the Shabbos clothing. The mitzvah today, we go with the minhag that we wear Shabbos clothing on Shabbos clothing. So you can't ask people to change in shul. What, they have to bring a whole set of clothing and everybody lines up and starts changing. And therefore, what's become common today is that they make Maariv a little bit later. So when Nacht comes, you take off your shoes, you change your Shabbos clothing into weekday clothing, into pre-worn, dirty Tisha B'Av outfits, and you take off your shoes, and then you go to shul for Maariv, and now it's already Nacht. You have your kinnis with you, you can take anything else with you, because it's already Nacht. So most of these issues are not applicable nowadays, because of the fact that they make Maariv a little bit later, to avoid these problems. Okay, another
2.5 minutes to go, the two of us can still get in, and then we'll finish this off next week with more examples. One can make beds on Shabbos, even if you're not going to sleep in them anymore, because making beds makes the house tidy. Having wanting a tidy house is something you need for now, not for later, and therefore you can make the bed, you can tidy up, make the beds in order to have a tidy home. To make beds in the fact that you're putting on linen, you have an exposed mattress and you're going to have guests coming tonight. And now you want to make the bed so that the sheets are on the bed and pillowcases are done, and et cetera, et cetera. You want to change the linen. That will be awesome, because that's no point in needing it for today. You need it for tonight only if it will be you're having a guest coming. You have a guest that comes for a Shabbos morning meal and you offer him a place to sleep. Now you want to make him a bed. So fine. Take up the sheets and make the bed. You need it now. But if you have a guest coming on Motzei Shabbos, you cannot make the bed. That's not considered needing now. So to make a made-up bed, meaning you have a bed that has linen on it and you want to straighten out the blankets and pillows and make it tidy, that is for now. That is Motzei. But to put linen on a bed is also only if it's also if it's for Motzei Shabbos and Motzei only for today. Okay, the next one is a little bit longer and complicated in a minute. So we'll stop there today. And next week we'll open more examples of other issues of our conference. We wish you all a wonderful
Christmas.
Okay.